Welcome to the Chocolate Cake Bites podcast with Ken Williams. Each week, we dig deeper and discover the sweet nuggets of goodness that come from living the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for joining in and enjoy this week's conversation.
And once again, we are with Annette, my favorite sister.
Hello.
My favorite co-host. My favorite person on the planet. And...
Sure.
It's been a couple weeks, which has been really sad because I don't think I've had you on the podcast since our family reunion, our family little get together.
I'm feeling a little like I may have offended you on that trip.
You super did.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Really, genuinely heartfelt. I did not mean whatever I did. I'm so sorry. Thank you for forgiving me.
It took a while. Speaking of, shall we talk about forgiveness today? And how I am not where I need to be when it comes to forgiveness? Or shall we talk about something else? Let's talk about something else. But before I was gonna defend myself. We had in October, we had a family reunion. I made choices that made me late to the reunion. There were feelings that other people had, and they can have whatever feelings they want. But Annette promised me that if I picked up from a
I promised you.
Wait. Wait until you hear the end of the sentence. She had somebody in the Indianapolis area with a bag of stuff, hoodies. I don't even know what was in there. It was a bag of stuff. And she said, if you go way out of your way.
I thought it was like 10 minutes.
It was 10 minutes. Well, it was more than that, but. If you inconvenience yourself to a significant degree and pick up this bag of stuff, I will cut your hair. And my favorite haircuts come from Annette.
Joke's on you. I would have cut your hair anyway.
But I knew that there were some sensitive feelings anyways. And I know you weren't the source of those, but oh well. So, but the reason that I was... I'll just say I would have preferred to have the haircut before I got to the reunion and not once I got to the reunion. And so that's why I was upset. I was tempted to get my haircut by somebody else before, but then I couldn't take advantage of the decent haircut that I would get from Annette. I had a TikTok comment about my hair the other day. It was super funny.
Your post haircut.
So the comment was, and the funny thing is that the version of me a year and a half, not a year and a half, 10 years, 15 years ago, would have been probably crushed. My soul would have been squashed if I'd seen this comment 15 years ago, because I thought my hair was a joke. It may be a joke, and I don't see it.
It's good hair.
Okay, well, so, and I've done some posts on social media about it and kind of my experience, realizing that it wasn't as bad as it was in my head. No pun intended. So there was somebody who commented on one of my posts and said, I don't know if I can trust a guy with hair like that, which cracked me up. And so I was telling some friends about it and they came to my defense saying, well, I'm going to go defend you on this. No, the guy was joking. I have to imagine that he was joking. And if he wasn't joking, who cares?
I think he was probably bald and, you know, what do you hide? Luscious set of hair.
His profile picture is a very muscular torso. I don't even know if the face was on there. I think it was just a muscular torso. And I said, well, I can't compete with that. I may have you on the hair, but I can't compete with that body. And so, end of story. That was it. But it was so funny that there were people rushing to my defense. I'm going to go say something. That's not fair. They shouldn't be. In fact, there was another comment that followed his that said, don't be a bully. And I thought, no, he's not being a bully. I don't think. Anyways, as always, I have questions. I have questions and I don't have answers. And so, Annette, I need answers.
Well, I have lots of answers that I've made up. So maybe one of them will be your question.
Perfect. Well, the question that I have is because I've heard some things about pain. There's a book title. I've not I started reading the book. This is from several years ago. Pain is optional, or pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. Something like that.
Yeah.
It may have been misery instead of suffering, but it raised the question for me: is suffering required? Is suffering a quote unquote mandatory part of this life? And I don't know that I know the answer. So, as I often do, I sent Annette a text. Tell me, what do you think? And she said, ooh, I have some thoughts. And I said, oh, good, because I don't have any thoughts yet. My initial thought is that I think we make our suffering worse than it needs to be. But I don't know that I've really taken that to the end of the line yet. So I want to hear where you are on that, the idea of pain versus suffering.
So I think the question I need clarification on, and you know, I'm not over here trying to take over the podcast today and ask questions.
Take it.
Is required for what?
Ooh. Wait a second. Because I'm the question asker.
I'm just asking for clarification.
A required part of our life.
Okay, like are you talking like spiritually or temporally?
Yeah. So I think I think what I'm asking is let's talk about the plan of salvation. We have a plan of salvation, the plan of happiness, the plan of joy, whatever you want to call it, that brings us from our life before this life through this life to our eventual, wherever we end up, our eventual reward or punishment, whatever that looks like. So I think here's how I think I'm going to ask the question, or here's how I think the question is in my head. Let's assume that if we want to be really rough about it, there's heaven, hell, there's paradise, prison. If you want to get more granular, at least in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we've got celestial, terrestrial, realms of glory. Let's just say I want what's best. I want the good. I want the kingdom of heaven. However you decide to define that. In order to achieve that, is it required for us to suffer? And I'm going to leave suffer wide open because I'm not going to stipulate whether I'm talking about suffer for anything in specific. Certainly not whether I'm suggesting we need to suffer for our sins or anybody else's mistakes, etc.
So I'm going to say no.
Okay.
But maybe.
Is that no, but maybe as in no, but maybe I'm wrong, or no, but there are situations where we may suffer?
I think, again, this is like an evolving, I could change my mind tomorrow. So nobody can hold me to this because who knows, by the time you hear it, I might have changed my mind.
That's true. And by the end of this episode, I could change my mind.
I could change mine too. I actually saw a social media post today of a guy who was talking about the good news of the gospel. We hear that phrase all the time. What does it actually mean? And he said, it means that it's okay that we're not perfect. And I thought, oh, I really like that very simple interpretation of that, because, you know, there's way more grace than we even can comprehend.
Right.
We tend to put a human fingerprints on things that are not human, you know, deity.
I love that imagery that we tend to put human fingerprints on things that are not human.
Yeah, because we don't understand. We can only comprehend what we know, and we only know humanness. That's all we know. That's all we remember, you know, depending on your religious background.
Which, and that can even shift from day to day, what we understand, what we know.
Yeah. And so we can only understand this merit-based, that the world we live in is merit-based, right? If you do good things, you get good things.
So I'm going to push back on that.
Okay, push back.
Because we hear this a lot. It's even in the scriptures. If you are righteous, you will prosper in the land. If you do good, then you get good.
Right.
But that's not true.
Oh, I know. I absolutely do not believe that at all. But
Okay. I was worried that you were preaching that as gospel truth. Okay.
No, heavens no. In fact, that's what I was, I can't say that's what I was taught growing up. That's absolutely what I absorbed growing up. That was right. The messaging that I absorbed.
And I want to explain this because I know sometimes mom listens to this. And there is a distinct difference between what she taught and what we heard.
Oh, 100%.
And the thing is, just so you can feel like you're off the hook, Mom, I don't know if you will, but I don't know what you taught. I don't know what was going through your head when you taught principles and lessons. All I know is how I absorbed it. And there's no way to reconcile the two, to compare who was closer to what the intent was. And so my point in saying that is that it is, when we talk about things like this, especially when Annette and I are having conversations, a lot of times we'll talk about things that we learned growing up or that how we were raised. We are not accusing anybody of anything, unless we want to accuse Dad, because we... He can't defend himself right now.
Yeah, we're going to get it. That's fine.
So, and that's one of the things that's really fascinating, but also frustrating, that I can teach my kids, I have 5 kids, I can teach my kids what I think is the same thing, and they absorb five different things. And I don't have any control over what they absorb.
When my kids were younger, and I would say, in my recollection, exactly like this. Guys, get in here. I need some help, please. Mm-hmm. And one of them heard, "You're a horrible child. I can't believe that you're not even thinking of coming in here and helping me." The other one, another one heard, "You can't do anything right because you haven't come in here." And I was like, no, I didn't even, what I said was, "Come in here. I need some help, please."
Yeah. I even said, please.
And another one heard, like, "You've been laying around on the couch all day watching TV. Can't you get up your lazy rear end and come up?" I was like, no, what I said was, "Can you guys come in here? I need some help, please." I didn't yell. I didn't raise my voice. I had a smile on my face when I said it. And so what you're saying is absolutely true. Like, what we say isn't always heard how we intended.
And we have zero control over how it's heard. And zero control over how it's heard. And we have, okay, I'm going to back off that a little bit. We have very little control over how it's heard. We can change our messaging. And so it can be heard a different way based on volume, based on vocabulary. But aside from that, we have very little control over how it's heard. And we have about the same amount of control over how it's interpreted, because this is communications 101.
brains are wild.
You've got a messenger, and you have a receiver, and you have a message, and the message is filtered through the brain of the messenger and through the brain of the receiver, and those two brains don't necessarily intersect. And I have never thought about this before, but there's nothing in most of my communications that really closes that loop that, okay, let's compare. Let's compare intent. And so how does that connect? Because I think it does. Yeah. How does that connect with our not needing to suffer, but sometimes needing to suffer?
Well, I think, like, I've been thinking about this today, and sometimes our suffering is absolutely self-inflicted. It could be maybe how we've absorbed messaging about religion and how we feel like we need to suffer to show our devotion. Uh-huh. Maybe we need to make things a little bit worse on ourselves than it would be because we feel like it is an offering that will be better received. Mm-hmm. Maybe we are feeling like we made a mistake or we did something, you know, air quote, wrong. And therefore, in order to show how sorry we are, you know, you have to really suffer and in order to really just show you're repentant or that you really are sorry that you made a mistake or that you'll never do it again or, you know, any of those things. But as far as like, I don't believe in heavenly parents that will require us to suffer. And this is why, and again, I could change my mind, but this is where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. I believe that we are children of deity and that they love us better than we could even love our own children. If you have children and yeah. you know, or if you have nieces and nephews or you have those that are in your life that you care for, right? You love them a special way. Mm-hmm. And when I think of how I would treat my kids, I would never require them to hurt or to suffer. Mm-hmm. Now it may happen. They right. may hurt or suffer because of things beyond even maybe their control. You mm-hmm. know, like in my circumstance, I have a body that's not perfect.
Right. Oh, guess what? So do I.
Stop trying to steal my thunder.
It's just not perfect yeah. in different ways than yours is not perfect.
Yeah.
It's I not have, perfect. My hair may be perfect, but
it's a vision. You know, and so like there's a thing that happened to me at a brain tumor that was there was nothing I could have done differently mm-hmm. to prevent it from happening. There was right. nothing I could have done. It was just part of having a body that has cells that have cells that replicate, which is how we want our cells to replicate. That's actually a really good thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes it goes a little wonky. In my case, it went a little wonky in a really unpleasant place to have it go wonky, right? Yeah. I've had a tumor on my foot when I was a teenager, and that was a much easier surgery to recover from.
Oh yeah.
than a brain surgery. In fact, the worst of that is my toe has a scar on it. Yeah.
What?
That's about it.
That's embarrassing.
So when I think of like, I would never do to my children what sometimes we put on our heavenly parents.
Yeah.
Of what they do. And because I believe that they love us better and more and differently than we can even comprehend because we're human. We're bound by these constraints of mortality.
Right.
I just don't believe it. I just choose not to. I've had people ask me like, well, how can you just say that? And I'm like, just like this, I'm choosing to not believe that.
Yeah.
We choose to believe certain things. And so just as easily I can choose to not believe mm-hmm. that. So I don't think it's a requirement of our heavenly parents, but when we don't align or when we're having a hard time or we choose not to align our will with our heavenly parents, mm-hmm. we may suffer.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So, yeah, I think so. I'm going to throw a question and maybe a follow-up question. So let's just suppose you see one of your kids suffering. And I'm not even sure that we know what that means, but let's just pretend that we all agree what the word suffer means. So you see one of your kids suffering. And you certainly didn't cause it. You wouldn't cause it. You wouldn't want to cause it. Would you step in and alleviate the suffering every time?
I think it would depend on what caused them to go down that path.
Okay. What do you mean?
Well, for example, if you had a child that maybe was choosing to like drink and drive mm-hmm. and hit somebody and hurt them.
Right.
Like they're going to have to really own those natural consequences. There are natural consequences, right? There might be legal consequences. That mm-hmm. would be a natural consequence. But if you have a child and that I wouldn't step in and try and like not have them suffer those legal consequences.
Right.
But if you had a child that had mental health issues mm-hmm. and was really suffering as a result of that, mm-hmm. I absolutely would step in.
Okay.
And try and alleviate however I could, right? Which might be a hand on the shoulder. It might be a listening ear. It might be permission or encouragement to seek therapy or help. Mm-hmm. You know, and depending on the relationship with the person would absolutely also depend on how much, you know, I did my own personal capacity for, you know, at any given time would reflect that too. But I think there are times when it would be appropriate to step in. And some of that could be, this is not a time where your suffering is beneficial. You're suffering for the sake of suffering. And I think there's a difference between suffering and gaining something from it versus suffering just for the sake of suffering.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is there's an element of agency. So you're saying that you wouldn't step in, you wouldn't alleviate the consequence of action.
Right.
The consequence may be suffering.
Correct.
So I think the more I think about that, the more
also
I want
to be like, well, it serves you right because you were dumb and you did this thing. Right. I'd be like, I would be compassionate and, you know, sympathetic or empathetic, wherever, you know, like, this is a really hard thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a friend who's struggling. One of her kids is really struggling and making some hard choices. And, I'm on the other side of that. And so we talk sometimes because being somebody who was in the middle of that, it was really helpful for me to talk to somebody who was on the other side. Like, show me that there's a light at the end of the tunnel without minimizing what I'm going through right now.
Sure.
And, you know, so we kind of just talked about how, like, she is absolutely suffering right now. She's hurting. I don't know if I could say she's suffering. She's hurting.
So let's clarify.
You define it, right?
Yeah, let's clarify suffering, because you have discomfort, which a consequence to an action could be discomfort. You touch a hot stove and it burns. Mm-hmm. And so I was making cakes the other day. I know that's probably surprising, but I accidentally touched the oven rack with my finger as I was trying to rearrange cakes, and it burned my fingerprint off.
Ooh, now you can commit a crime.
It burned it off enough. I think it just kind of thinned it out a little bit, so that when I tried to use my fingerprint to turn on my computer, my computer doesn't recognize my fingerprint anymore. So I'm not sure I would call that suffering. I would say that that's discomfort. Yeah, it hurt, but I don't know that I would define that as suffering. Then you have pain, which could be a physical pain. It could be an emotional pain. It could be a spiritual pain. It could be what else is there? Other kind of pain.
I mean, there's mental, physical, emotional pain.
Sure. Yeah.
Response to.
So can you feel those pains or feel discomforts without suffering?
Wait, say that again.
Can you feel discomfort or can you feel pain without suffering? Or does suffering always accompany an uncomfortable sensation?
I see. I think that's just, it could depend on like what your life experience has been up to that point. Okay. You know, it could depend on your frame of mind, your mental, spiritual, emotional health and well-being. And I think it's tricky because so many people I'm going to say broad Christianity, but I don't know if that's true. We idolize or memorialize, suffering. Like, because it says in the scriptures, right? Like, to blessed are you who suffer for Christ's sake, which I totally paraphrase that. I don't know if you could tell.
Super exact. Close enough.
So I think sometimes we want to appear as though we are having suffered for Christ's sake, you know, for something.
Okay.
But like, maybe that's a way that people make sense of a challenge or a trial or a hardship.
Okay. So that raises a new question for me. First of all, I pulled up Merriam-Webster and I just have to say, do better, Merriam-Webster. Suffering, no. Noun, the state or experience of one who suffers. Well, that clarifies it for me. So
questions now over here.
Now we understand. All right. So the question I think is okay. So we can say that suffering is a synonym of pain or discomfort. We could. I'm not sure that I'm there yet.
So, I mean, I'm in the religious context,
right? So here's where I'm going. Let's take it to sin. Let's take it to sin or some sort of misdeed. What's a good example? That's not true, because I don't want to tip my hand on all of my personal sins. Let's just say that I ran a pyramid scheme. And I'm not saying I did it. We need to start recording and posting the video. Let's just say that I concocted a pyramid scheme and I built seniors out of hundreds of thousands of dollars. So there's a legal component. And I'll probably end up in jail. There may be some civil penalties where I need to repay the things that I took. So, but let's keep it to a spiritual, in a spiritual sense. What is required as I repent? What is required? And who requires it? And I will tell you, based on my knowledge of things, I know things. That's just how I explain things sometimes. Somebody asked me, how'd you know it's my birthday? I know things. And so as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, if I were found guilty, and even if I weren't found guilty, quotes, but I was guilty, I probably would lose my membership. So there's a consequence. And let's pull suffering out, because I think a lot of times we talk about suffering for our sins or suffering for our sins. Jesus suffered for our sins. So how much do we need to suffer for our sins? And just to make it a lot more exciting, we're not going to talk about your sins. We're going to talk about somebody else's sins. Somebody else who's offended you. Somebody else who has wronged you or wronged somebody that you know or love. Somebody else who, the guy who stole your grandmother's money. How much do they need to suffer?
See, that has human fingerprints all over it.
It super does. And that's why I'm asking the question.
That retribution.
Because I have a very uncomfortable answer. And I want to hear what you have to say before I share my very uncomfortable answer.
So I'm having a flash of a memory of a conversation with Dad where he asked me something about, like, I probably had done something and we were talking about forgiving yourself, you know?
Right.
And when do you think God has forgiven you?
Right.
And like, what do you need to do in order for that? And he was like, it's already done. It's done.
Right.
He already did. It already happened. And Barry, my husband, has been doing like a really deep dive the last couple of years about repentance and the atonement, and he shared a lot of that stuff with me. And as we've been learning about it, I know we talked about this a while ago on here, but I was like, I think the way we talk about repentance is not great. Our humanness wants a checklist. We want to know what we need to do so we can check the box and cross it off our list. And I believe now, and this is different than what I believed 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that repentance is simply a realigning my will and God's will. That's all it is. It's just a realigning. It's me readjusting because maybe I got off path. If you all love Elder Uchtdorf, Dieter Uchtdorf and his airplane analogies, they're beautiful for this. Cause like if you get off and I know you fly and you get off by a few degrees, that can really be catastrophic. You've got to be constantly adjusting. And so this concept of like daily repentance or repentance in general is just a readjusting. It's not like berating yourself or like prostrating yourself on the ground. And like, this is what I believe. This is where I'm at right now. And since I have changed my mind to get to this point, it might happen again, but
sure.
And so with repentance being, for my definition, a simple realignment, a simple adjustment. That's why I love the whole, yeah, you can do that daily. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the idea of like pray and like repent of your sins every night because I did not like going to bed listing a laundry list of reasons I'm a horrible person.
I complained. I scrolled for 31 minutes instead of 30 minutes that I had on my plan today. I watched two episodes instead of one episode.
Of chocolate instead of the three that's one serving.
Wait, how many is so? We got to adjust those servings.
It's ridiculous.
I think a bag is a serving.
It might be a small bag, right? Or the share bag is obviously more than one serving.
That's one and a half. You're going to share with somebody who doesn't like chocolate and it's all good.
That's true. That's a good point. So if repentance is simply just a realignment and not a checklist process of like showing my remorse, suffering to a whatever extent is acceptable, 40 lashes with a wet noodle, you know, three Our Fathers and four Hail Marys. Like
you're mixing religions, by the way. I don't know if you knew that, but
I'm just trying to get everybody in Christianity. Cool. In there.
I love it.
And then God in his grace says, it is good.
Yeah.
You are forgiven. If that applies to me, then the person who did the thing to me also gets the exact same grace.
Right.
So us wanting like retaliation or retribution or them to get what's coming to them or karma, however you want to describe it, that's humanness. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of the reasons why Christians, specifically members of our faith, because we do talk about grace a little bit differently in our faith, other Christian religions. It's so hard for us to comprehend. And it's one of the things where it's like, we might not actually believe our own stuff about grace because it is so fantastical. Like it can't be that it's too good to be true. If it's too good to be true, it has to be not true.
Well, this idea of pain and suffering is so deeply ingrained in, I think, humanness. I don't know that it's even religion. I think it's humanness. That things are, we just have this sense, I think, that things are supposed to be fair. And if you did something that horrible that my grandmother no longer has her retirement fund because some guy stole it, weaseled it out of her, cheated her out of it, whatever happened, then he needs something. He needs something to balance the scales. To
he shouldn't get off scot-free.
No. And it's so frustrating to be human and to learn about this atonement that is supposed to apply to other people. Of course, you know, I want it to apply to me. I don't want it to apply to anybody else because they haven't paid enough for their mistakes.
And our sin, our mistake was, it was an accident. It was justified. There's these other extenuating circumstances. Yeah, that applies to everybody. Mm-hmm. When I was, I don't know, 18 or 19, I was home for the summer from college. I was working at Gulfland. And, you know, it's the place to be for you and your family. And dad and mom and probably Scott and Mark had gone to the movies. And Candace She was a lifeguard there. I was over groups, mm-hmm. and they decided they were going to do a water slide party, and I'd have my swimsuit there. So I was mm-hmm. going to zip home to get my swimsuit,
which is like 7 minutes. It's not that, it wasn't that far.
It's not very far. And like, as you're coming out of off the street that the golf land was on, it's a little mini golf place. It was a place where if you're turning right, you have your own lane, and there's a sign that says, don't stop here. Mm. And there was a lady who was stopped. I looked down to adjust the radio. I hit her. I was going about 15 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And it crumpled the front end of Dad's Cadillac that I was driving.
Well, at least it was the car that you'd be able to hide the damage.
Right? Yeah. That It accordioned the entire front end. Now, it put a small dent, very small dent, on the back bumper of this lady. Mm-hmm. She got out of the car. She yelled and kicked and screamed at me, told me that I was the reason that society was the way it was, and I was a degenerate, and I was never going to go anywhere, and it was really traumatic.
Which is why you have blue hair.
It is. It is 100%. And, you know, Dad had a car phone in that car.
That's right.
And I think it was like $8 a minute. It might have been 15. It was ridiculously expensive.
About 1980s dollars.
And I called the work, and Candace borrowed a car. Somebody came and got me. We got the car home. I had totally forgotten that she had told me to just leave a note on the car and we're going to go back and water slide. I was so sick to my stomach. Mm. I pulled the car in the driveway so you couldn't see the front end so they wouldn't notice, you know, right when they came home.
I love it. All the things that happened after I moved out. So
we get home from I think we got back before they got home from the movie. And I'm terrified, mm-hmm. right? Like this is Dad's Cadillac, and he loved that car, at least in my memory, in my recollection. He loved that car.
Right.
And I've ruined it. And he looks at me. I mean, I told him, I knew I couldn't hide it. I knew mm-hmm. I couldn't like blame it on anybody else. You know, I was driving it. I was like, Dad, this happened. This is what happened. And he just wrapped me up in his arms and said, are you okay? And I probably started crying and I was like, yeah, but Dad, your car. And he's like,
yeah,
this is why we have insurance. We can replace a car. I can't replace you.
Right.
Are you okay? And I just feel like that is how our heavenly parents would respond, not would, but absolutely respond to us right. when we make a mistake, mm-hmm. you know, and it would have been so much easier on me and my humanness if Dad would have punished me.
Oh yeah.
Or if he'd made me pay for the insurance going up, mm-hmm. because I'm sure the insurance went up. The car was totaled, and that I didn't know at the time, but now I know that just simply means the repairs cost more than the value of the car.
Right.
Got it fixed. Mm-hmm. Couldn't even tell about the damage after it was done. He didn't, in my memory, Mom, if you're listening, then please correct me if I'm wrong, because I cannot.
Oh, we'll be talking about this.
In my memory, I didn't pay a penny. I wanted to. I wanted him to yell at me. I wanted him to punish me. I wanted him to ground me. And our parents didn't even ground. Sorry for anybody who I told growing up that I was grounded.
Not true.
But I believe that was, I don't know how Dad did it. I do not know how Dad did it. Especially now as a parent who have had kids that have done some really dumb stuff.
Yeah.
It's really hard to step in that. But I do believe that is just the nature of our heavenly parents. Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't believe they would be like, well, you're going to have to fix this somehow. And right. I'm not shaming anybody who can't get to that point, because I can't get to that point. I'm not good at it yet.
Right. Well, and I think that's part of our own experience. That's part of our personal process is to get to that point. But the thing is that it is already taken care of. Uh-huh. It's already taken care of.
And that's hard when you want that person to pay because they really did harm you. And maybe that paying means coming to you and saying, you're right, I was wrong. Mm-hmm. Right? Maybe they've done something or, you know, didn't do something that you felt like you deserved or, you know, that you really wanted. And Yeah, it's done and it's paid for. And that is tricky in our humanness.
It's super tricky. And there's this could take a couple different directions. And I just don't know that we have the, nobody wants to listen to a 4-hour conversation about us talking about suffering.
I do.
Okay. Well, maybe next week. No, the thing, so I think there are two things that you've brought up and a third thing that I want to at least throw out. Number one, I think it's important for us to recognize in ourselves our desire or our innate need to, quote, pay for our mistakes, to suffer for our mistakes. It feels like something's missing if we don't. I think adjacent to that is our need for other people to suffer. It's which is why we have things like the death penalty. We need, quote, need to see other people suffer for their mistakes. And I'm not saying that that's right or wrong. In fact, I'm saying it's wrong that for us to need for somebody else to suffer because of their mistakes. I'm not saying that I'm there because I don't think I am there all the time. But the thing that I want to bring up is how much of our suffering is self-inflicted? And of the self-inflicted suffering, how much of it is necessary? Which I think is really, I think that the point there, and again, this is a deep conversation that could go all sorts of places, but I think some of our suffering is self-inflicted because we think something went wrong. Your brain tumor, for example. The more you dwell on the fact, and I know you've done a lot of mindset work around this, but the more you dwell on the fact that your brain blew up in your head and that that's not what it's supposed to do,
yeah,
that created pain for you. Or we can call that suffering because Webster says that anything that has to do with suffering is called suffering. Stupid dictionary. I need a better dictionary. But then, and you've talked about this on the podcast in the past, about you finally recognize that human brains sometimes do things that are unexpected. And when you accept that, then... Well, let me ask you, when you came to that realization, how did that change your experience?
It was massive.
So honestly. It wasn't just like okay.
No, yeah, it was because I kept thinking, especially in growing up in a religious environment, and growing up absorbing the messaging that God, our relationship with God is transactional.
Right.
I don't know those words were ever said, but I absolutely believed that there was an if then. If you do these things, then you get these things. And I said over and over, like, I was doing the things.
Yeah. If you are.
Smoke, I don't do drugs, you know, like I eat healthy, I exercise, like I was doing all of the things. If you want to go into religious, like we were doing all that, we were having family meetings, right. We were having scripture study. I'm doing the things. I don't understand why this happened.
Right.
And so when that life coach asked me the question of what was your role in this? I mean, I was like, I don't know. I was doing all the things.
Right.
I was doing all of the things. And, you know, then it was like, oh, I have a mortal body. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So it took all of the, I don't know if the guilt is not the right word, pressure of responsibility off. Mm-hmm. First of all, it was not because of anything I did or didn't do. Mm-hmm. Right. Because I think sometimes, especially in religion, we think like, what did I do to deserve this? What did I do wrong?
Right.
What are you trying to teach me with this? I think is another one. And I feel like I've been very vocal about, I do not believe at all that everything happens for a reason.
Right. So we may come back to that at some point. Because I want to play around with that one again.
Yeah. Like, And I think we can use things that happen to us for good, but I don't think God is like, all right, you're going to get cancer and you're going to lose children and you're not going to be able to have children and you're not going to get married. You know, I don't think God gives us things like that.
No.
I think there's things that happen to us either because of choices we make or choices other people make, or just simply because we're in a mortal body.
Yeah.
There's probably other things too, but, and so it took all of the pressure and weight, definitely on a religious standpoint, off.
Yeah.
I didn't get this to teach me something. I didn't get this because I did something wrong and I'm being punished. I don't deserve this. And which was very freeing in a temporal and a spiritual way.
Right.
And it didn't take away any of the really horrifically hard parts of navigating life with essentially a hole blown in your brain.
Yeah.
Tumors destroy brain tissue. It did never come back. I didn't know that. I just learned that like a year and a half ago. And it doesn't take any of that away, but it made it a lot, the whole thing caring a lot lighter because I knew that like I wasn't responsible.
Right. So the two things that I want to point out and to kind of wrap it up, at least on my end, and then you can extend it as long as you need to, I guess. I don't know. But number one, there is self-inflicted suffering. And when we, and this is one example, there may be others that we may dig into at some point, but when we dwell on, this is my physics and quantum physics, I don't understand. So this is just what I understand about life is we can't change the past. If something happened, we can't change it. And so if we focus on what, quote, should have happened, I should have not had that second Twinkie because then I wouldn't be diabetic, or I shouldn't have whatever it is. That is all wasted. That's wasted energy because it doesn't matter whether it should or shouldn't happen. It did. And the more you want to fight it, that I think is self-inflicted suffering. So, and I bring up that experience that you had with your coach, because I think that's what we do a lot of times. We assign blame to things in our life, and by releasing that blame or the power, whatever it is, we can totally change our experience. That doesn't make the hard thing not be a hard thing, but it makes it less there's no suffering or less suffering, because I don't have to worry about what quote should have happened. If I had done family home evening for an hour instead of 48 minutes, then my kids would have the testimony that they needed to go through. No. If it's past, it's past.
I've heard people say that, you know, because, almost verbally said, yeah.
And so that's one of the reasons I want to dig into a little bit more about things happen for a reason. I'm just going to add one thing and then you can wrap it up.
Oops, man.
Maybe I won't add it. No, I will add it. This idea of things happen for a reason. I agree with you that things don't happen for a reason, but we are meaning making individuals. We need there to be meaning in things. And so I don't think God makes things happen for us to learn a lesson, but I think that we can find peace in our difficulty when we discover that there is a lesson that we can learn. It's not necessarily a lesson that God gave us. Oh, I need a net to learn how to navigate sensory problems. No, it's you can discover that, oh, here's something that I can learn about myself, my spirituality, my divine nature, my connection with deity, whatever it is, my relationship with my husband or with my family. I know you've had experiences with all that. And I learned these lessons or deepened these lessons because of this experience. And I think that's my answer. I think that when we forget that there is it is really hard. I think it is really hard for us to be too far gone. And I'm speaking about everybody. So this includes the person that you want to see suffer as well. It is really hard for anybody to be too far gone. And I love Elder Caron's quote that our Father in Heaven, our heavenly parents, are in relentless pursuit of their children. And I choose to believe that because that gives me a better chance of ending up where I want to be, of ending up in that paradise, that celestial glory. And we can put out a petition whether you think need to be there, but it doesn't matter because it's not up to you. But that's my take, that we can make our lives worse by thinking that other people should be different than they are, or that our circumstances should be different than they are, or our past life should be different than it was. And that kind of suffering is not necessary. But I also think that because of agency, I don't think our heavenly parents are going to alleviate that. I think, this is my final, I've said this a few times, but this is my final,
final
thought on that. I think they need, no, I'm going to say it differently. I think we need to discover ourselves that, how do I want to finish that sentence? Because I changed my sentence mid-sentence. I think we need to discover for ourselves and ourselves that whatever is good enough for God. And I'm not saying that he'll accept less than perfection. I'm saying, okay.
I am. I'm saying that he'll accept less than perfection.
What I'm saying is that we aren't going to hijack his plan. We don't have the control. We don't have the power. We don't have the authority. We don't have the ability to ruin his plan. The end.
Okay, so my final thoughts are, we can't be perfect in this life. So we absolutely, God's going to have to settle for less than perfection because that's not attainable in mortality.
Correct.
But I think that the atonement is way more generous. I wanted to say that nicer, like more eloquently, but you know, it's just way super, a lot more generous than we can even comprehend.
Yeah.
When we're thinking of like, we accidentally cut that guy off in traffic and yeah, but this is what's happening. I'm rushing to the hospital because this just happened and I need to get there. And we want people, like other people are experiencing similar things. And that's all taken. And I really believe that's all taken into consideration, like in the atonement, in the way our heavenly parents, I don't like the word deal with us, but like respond to us, how they show grace to us. There's a lot of things that we didn't choose that happened to us. And then we made choices based on those life experiences.
Right.
And I'm really grateful for heavenly parents that will look at each person uniquely. And I don't believe in blanket grace, you know, like, I think we can, even you look at the scriptures and you have times where murder was okay. Mm-hmm. And in general, we've frowned on murder.
Right.
And so I think there's, I'm not saying exceptions to every rule. I'm just saying, I think there's way more grace than our human brain can even comprehend.
Yeah.
And I really believe that the atonement is going to be very much more generous than we can even hope that it could be.
Right. And the way I'm going to say that, I'm just going to interpret you. I may interpret you correctly. I may not. But the way I'll say that is that fortunately for us, the atonement is applied to God's standard and not my standard.
That's good too.
Is that fair? Yeah. The end. All right.
More generous.
Finally, that's what we got for you for this week. Next week, we are talking with Brett again. We're going to talk about my favorite topic, goals, which is really becoming a more favorite topic than it has ever been before. But we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to Chocolate Cake Bites. We want to hear how to make the podcast better for you. So please let us know at Ken@ChocolateCakeBites.com. That's Ken@ChocolateCakeBites.com. And before you end the day, take a few minutes to consider, who do you know who needs chocolate cake?